question you've never had to answer before because it's a problem we've never faced before. Hello, and welcome to Ministry Now, a resource from the faculty at Southwestern Seminary, helping you live calling in an ever-changing ministry landscape. I'm Katie McCoy, and today we're talking about reopening churches in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic and the many concerns that come with it. Here to help us make some sense of it all is Dr. Chris Osborne, professor of preaching and pastoral ministry here at Southwestern Seminary. And before coming to Southwestern, he served as pastor of Central Baptist Church in Bryan, Texas for over 30 years. Dr. Osborne, thank you for joining us.
It's my honor. I'm glad to be here. I'm just glad I'm not pastoring at this point in time.
Oh, man. So I suppose it's like a lot of other major events in history where people are connecting what's happening in their lives to the priority and the place of the church. We've been hearing that a lot. Just go on Twitter and you find so many different conversations about that. Probably the biggest issue in the post-COVID life that we're all living in now is the significance of churches meeting in person. So many other different life experiences are digitized. Why would you say that it is essential that churches meet together? Or is it essential at all?
Oh, I think it's incredibly essential. As a matter of fact, I think when this is over, people, even the churches that have started sort of slowly coming back, maybe just leadership testing, are just pumped. God designed us to need each other. I mean, that is a clear Genesis creative design. And I don't think God intended that as in a digital era. Nothing wrong with digital communication, but at some point, you've got to have face-to-face. It's interesting, if you look at the Greek in John 1, it says Jesus was proskontheon, face-to-face with the Father. So if there's face-to-face communication inside the Trinity, and that Trinity is our creator, then surely there should be face-to-face with us.
So that leads me to ask the next question. If meeting together was so important, were we wrong to forego our public meetings?
Ooh, there's the question out there. I don't think so. I don't think Romans 13 necessarily, you've got this thing, we obey the government. Obviously, we don't obey them when they step between us and God. But I'm not sure I see this as a stepping between us and God in that we distance ourselves to protect each other. I think there does come a point where if the government feels like and the powers that be say, we're looking better, then I think we come back together. I think communication and community is extremely important. And I don't think we've violated holiness or a call from God by backing off for a small period of time.
Well, and this whole scenario has prompted no small response concerning religious liberty in the church. If you were, let's say you were back in Bryan, Texas now, and you were having to navigate this as a pastor, how would you be relating to this question of church gatherings as it intersects with religious liberty?
Yeah, I think that's really the question, man. I don't want the government to control me. Clearly, they don't have that right. But I think there's a line between, for me, the line is, are they controlling me or am I stepping back protecting even my own people from social distancing and hurting each other? That's the line for me. If the government starts saying, we've decided we don't want you meeting at all, then that's a different ballgame. But if it's a protection issue, then I think I live inside the protection issue as long as I can.
So it sounds like what you're saying is it's not a question of what is the government telling me as much as it is, how can I best take care of the people for whom I'm responsible?
Well, I think that's absolutely the best way to put it. It's a protection issue, not a control issue. If it becomes a control issue, that's a different ballgame. But I don't see that at this point. I mean, there are churches that are still meeting. They're kind of seen as the crazies, which again, doesn't help our reputation in the community. So I think when we say we want to protect our people in the community, it makes a good statement about who we are. And we're still meeting together Zoom, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Different perspectives and experiences are going to come to this question of when we reopen. And it's going to vary church to church, community to community. Some church members are going to feel very unsafe coming back to church, even after, let's say, 3 months. And then you have other believers, maybe in your church, same congregation, who think we never should have stopped meeting. So how do you as a pastor not only navigate those differences, but then help your own church members navigate the differences of opinion among each other?
That is exactly what's going to happen. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. I think what you have to do, one thing I would do is I would check with my community buddies, Lutheran, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, say, when are you guys reopening? How are you doing it? For example, my church in Bryan is starting to easily reopen. No nursery, no child care until September, which I think has some wisdom there because kids are not going to social distance. That's just not happening. So I think you need to check with your community, see where they are. I know there was a particular church in Houston that opened up very quickly, and so it sort of pushed the others to have to open up a little quicker. I want to be in with my community. If I open up too early, something bad happens, I'm going to catch flack. If I open up too late, that's not wise either. So I want to kind of be in touch with my buddies, my brothers in Christ in the community. What are they doing? I think that's a key thing. And then I want my people to know, I want you with my people, look, we're going to open May 31st. If you're not comfortable, you stay home. We will love you. We will do anything we can to meet your need, whether you come or not. Until you feel comfortable, you don't come, and we will love you through that. I think you've got to make that statement.
What would be the factors that you would be weighing in determining when is the right time to open up? And then are there any resources that you could point pastors to help them make that decision?
Yeah, I think I would, you know, seriously, I would get some medical doctors and say, look, what's the best way for us to protect our people when they come back? How can we cleanse our building? We need to make sure it's cleaned after every time we meet. I would definitely limit my meeting time. If you have 3 services, you can probably go to 1 at this point with the number of people that don't want to come. I would limit that. I know a lot of the churches are having the ushers open the door so that nobody's allowed to touch the door. They walk straight in. It's like restaurants. You can sit here, but not here in the sanctuary. So I think there are several things like that, just from a pragmatic standpoint. I would get, Nathan Lino brought up this idea to me. He's at a church in Houston, Kingwood. They have a task force of laymen and staff who are formulating the best way to do this. And I think that's a good idea. Scripture says in a multitude of counselors is great wisdom. I'd get as many people as, I wouldn't make it just my decision. I'd get as many people in my own church as I could to help me make that call.
So what would be some of the things that pastors and staff should be thinking through when it comes to social distancing and then also mitigating the spread in church gatherings? You think about all the different just cultural things that we do. I think of churches that pass out bulletins or do communion and offerings, and what should that look like post-COVID?
Now, this is going to be a different ball game. I think, obviously, right now, it'd be good to wear masks. Mm-hmm. If you do Lord's Supper, everybody would have their own little entity. You're not going to pass the plate with picking bread out or the juice. You're going to I think you can buy those little deals that are self-contained. You pass those out, and people passing them out with gloves. I think you've just got to take the normal precautions you see at Walmart or anywhere else. But I do think the church is essential business, and I think we need to go back to that concept, at least in some way.
Mm-hmm. Let's shift from talking about helping our church members to helping our church leaders. How would you help a staff, and then also be mindful of what you're needing yourself as a pastor with the mental and the emotional exhaustion that you're coming into church reopening with? I heard a pastor talk about how we are all just, we get up and maybe you work for an hour and you're drained because we're all carrying a great deal of emotional strain and mental weight. So how do you help your leaders? And then also keep your own tank full serving people in this season.
No, it's really too. I talked to Stephen Rummage the other day. I was supposed to preach for him, and obviously I'm not. They're not meeting. He said to me, he said, man, when this is over, I'm taking a break. I mean, it is exhausting and sounds crazy, but it is. You hit it on the head. It's an emotional exhaustion. You want to be with your people. You're wondering, when are we going to get together? How are we going to do this? You're trying to keep in touch with people as much as you can with a phone, with cards, with calls, email, texts. It's just a tough time for pastors right now. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a couple things as a pastor and staff you've got to come to, you're going to have to come to grips with. Your people are probably church shopping some here. You're going to have to deal with that. You're probably going to have less attendance when you come back. I know if you say we're going to start meeting March 31st, but the kids are not coming back till September, you're not going to have young couples. You're going to have some older people scared to come. So you're going to have to understand your attendance is going to be much smaller. Don't let that destroy your heart. Accept the fact that it's going to be smaller. It'll build slowly. Your people will probably come back. And even though there's going to be some church hopping, there'll be some people hopping to your church as well. So it'll probably balance out. Don't let those things knock you down and beat you up. And I think you've got to accept that you've got to love both sides. You're going to have people that think you're crazy for opening. You're going to have people think you're nuts for opening. You're going to have people, if you took, my church, for example, took some money, one of the loans that they don't have to pay back to handle the crisis. You're going to have people that think you're evil for doing that, people that think you're wonderful doing that. So you just get, it's a tough time, but it's a normal time as a pastor. You make your best decision under the leadership of the Holy Spirit with people helping you in that, and then you move forward, whatever the penalty is going to be. So it's just normal pastor.
This next one comes from one of our alumni. How do you make plans when the future is so fluid?
Yeah, I saw that question on the website. Part of my answer would be the future is always fluid. I mean, it's a little different now, but it's always fluid. You don't really know what's coming down the pike. You just don't have any idea. I do think one thing I would do, once I get my people back where the kids are back and I've got a pretty stable congregation coming back, I would walk them through the book of Esther. Esther's a great book on the sovereignty of God. And it's great in the fact that the sovereignty of God is obviously in every single verse, but nobody in the book sees it. Haman doesn't see it. Mordecai doesn't see it. Esther doesn't see it. We see it. It's everywhere. And the other good thing is there's a great light-hearted texture of humor to the book, but it's humor linked into the sovereignty of God. When your people come back, they need a little break here. I wouldn't come back and start preaching, you know, Deuteronomy 5 or something. I want to ease them back into the service. Esther's a great book to walk through. God's sovereign. He loves his people. He's going to take care of his people. And there's some great humor in there. And your people need a little break. So I think doing something like that, I would take a few weeks and preach through Esther and just open it up to my people.
So last one, you're a seasoned pastor, seasoned preacher.
You, which means you old. Thank you so much.
you mentioned the going to Esther and giving your congregation just something that it's going to lift their spirits and encourage them. Let's drill down into that. How, after all of this, would you preach differently? Would you preach differently at all? But how would you let all of the experiences of the last few months shape, guide, and direct how you are in the pulpit?
I think that's a great question. I really do think at the first, particularly, I would be very positive. I try to preach on some real positive. That's why I would go into Esther. You can take some time going through Esther. It's just a great book. I'm listening to a guy in the area going through the book of Ruth. That's another good book to walk through, the redeeming love of God. I would walk through some books that are very, very positive. At the end of the day, though, I think I would pull my people back just to where they've been. You've walked in Jesus. Jesus has gotten you through this. The future is still fluid. We don't know what's happening tomorrow. He's still there, whether we know what's happening or not. That's why I love Esther. Nobody in the book knew God was there. He's there. He knows he's there. We know he is because we've got the past tense of the book. Now we're living in the future and present tense. He's still there, future and present. And I would drive that home to my people.
Well, Dr. Osborne, thank you for sharing from the wisdom of your experience. And thank you to our viewers for joining us. We hope this has been helpful. Tune in next week when we'll be interviewing Dr. Rebecca Naylor about medical ministries in our COVID world. For more information about Southwestern Seminary and Scarborough College, including our 8-week online courses this summer, it's not too late to jump into those, visit us at swbts.edu. This is Ministry Now. Until next time, live your calling.